Now let's ask the Lord to bless in His Word today. Lord, we take this time just to stop and call upon Thy mighty name and invite Your presence, even though, Lord, we know You're here. We feel Your presence, but we invite Your presence. We want You to know that we invite You into this place today, that You might take charge, You might have preeminence, that all that's said and done might be done for Your glory and for Your cause and Your purpose. Now, Lord Jesus, come and anoint the Word. Anoint the ears to receive it, the hearts to receive it. Whatever country it goes into, whatever city, whatever town, whatever state, whatever nation. God, we ask in Jesus' name, it go forth with anointing, and it will accomplish that which You sent it forth to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. I want to look to a section of Scripture in Proverbs. In the fourth chapter, I'm going to be reading on verse 20 through verse 27. Now, the Bible says the Word of God has been forevermore settled in heaven. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God that, you know, we don't have like a bunch of lawmakers, going and lobbying and making a new rule, or about the time we think we've got it straightened out, they come and hand down another rule or another law. Thank God that the Word of God is not like that. Thank God that the Word of God is written, settled, amen, and it will not be changed. There will not be no amendments. They will not be. Man has tried to amend it. Man has tried to change it. Man has tried to water it down. But the true Word of God will stand forever, amen. The true Word of God, amen, will stand the test of time and the ages, amen. And I'm not interested in these new modern translations. I started with the King James Version, and that was back many, many years ago. Got saved in 59 and started preaching the gospel in 1968. And it was good enough to lead me to an altar of prayer. It was good enough to save me then. And it's good enough, amen, for me to live by today. It'll be good enough to die by. It'll be good enough, amen, when it's all said and done, because it's the truth, amen, and it'll never fail. Heaven and earth might pass away, but not one jot nor tittle, He said, of My word, it will fail until it all come to pass. Everything God says going to happen, amen. We can't change it. The Bible said, what if some didn't believe? What if some won't accept it? Would it make it of any less effect? If the whole crowd stands up and boos and thumbs it down for you and I today that believe in the gospel, it'll be as rich and real as ever. Amen. Paul said, even if an angel come down from heaven teaching or presenting any other gospel, any other doctrine, any other word than that which that he had spoke, the Bible said, let them be accursed. Amen. And we've got on every hand and every side somebody coming up with a new version and a new idea. We had a man to come in one of our meetings one day, and he said, I need to say something. And I said, sir, I don't think so. But he said, well, could I have about a half a minute? And I said, well, sir, this you're going to say, is it from the Word of God? Oh, he said, this thing is a revelation that is far beyond the Word of God. I said, you don't have no time to speak in anything I'm doing. Because let me tell you something. God is not giving nobody a revelation beyond what's written in the Word of God. Amen. There are not no amendments to it. Amen. But he said he had a brand new revelation. He said he had a list of 3,000 some people had read it and signed it that they believe it to be the truth. I don't care if every man, woman, boy, or girl in the world signs it. If it's not rooted and grounded in this book, it's not the truth. Amen. It's a lie and an abomination, and that's what's happened. That's the reason we've got every kind of doctrine. Amen. We've got every kind of understanding is because people have not rooted and grounded themselves in the Word of God, and they don't know what the Word of God says. I have people every day tell me, well, the Word said. And I say, wait a minute, amen. I read the book. I read it from Genesis to Revelation, amen. And it's not there. It did not say that. I've had people say, well, I'm sure somebody told me it did. I'm going to tell you something, amen. Do not take somebody's word for the issues of life of this word. Go and check it out for yourself. It's good, amen, it's good to listen to good preaching. It's good to listen to good teaching. But I'm going to tell you something, the best thing is check it out for yourself, amen. Glory to God, I'm about to get excited, amen. Now the word says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of the heart. Notice this understanding about the heart. For they are life unto those that find them. Amen. And health to all thou flesh. I want to tell you something. The word of God, amen, is a healing, amen. And healing comes through the word of God, amen. The more the word of God you put into your vessel, the better health you're going to have, amen. There's a lot of folks, amen, are scared to death. I've watched in the last 25, 30 years, they're like took blood pressure standards. Now they've got blood pressure standards down to about 2 out of 3 ever American needs to take some kind of something for the blood pressure. They've got the sugar level down so low that about 2 out of 3 people that they diagnose has a sugar problem. And you go on and on and on and on. Amen. What do these folks do? They panic. Amen. They go along with whatever they're told. But if you go to the Word of God, then the word of God, amen, will produce. The Bible said, by his stripes you were healed. And that's a past tense. The Old Testament said you were healed. Amen. Now we go to the understanding. It's a past tense. Amen. Being R at the time it was done, being past tense when we received it. So when I read the word for the first time, Jesus had already allowed the stripes to be bore upon his back, and healing had been declared for you and I as a believer. So I'm excited about the power of the word. Amen. And if you've got the word, you can stand up against the wiles of Satan. You can stand up against the devil, and you can know as the satanic forces came, amen, and they tempted Jesus, and the devil said, if you'll only bow down and worship me, I will give you all this you see. The devil was kind of dumb. He was trying to give the Lord what he already owned, amen. That's kind of dumb, isn't it? But listen, amen, when that was said, I like the words that Jesus said. Amen. Man is not going to live by bread and water alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm telling you, in the beginning was the word. Amen. And that word, amen, spoke and came forth out of the mouth of God. And the Bible said that word became flesh. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of glory. Amen. So the word, amen, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, all things was made and created by him. Not anything that was made except it be by him. It was all made for him and through him. And we move and have our being in him today. Amen. I'm glad I'm rooted and grounded in the word. I'm glad I know what the word says. I'm glad that I've been bathed in the word. I'm glad my mom and daddy took me to church. And when I was a little boy, a little infant, I laid under the front pew and used to look up at the preacher. Amen. And there were some great preachers went on before me. A great preacher named Roy Poff, which my mama said, I'm going to name you Roy after Roy Poff. He was a powerful preacher. Amen. And I had my uncles. Amen. Paul Ratliff, amen, was a powerful, anointed preacher of God. And my Uncle Thomas Cox, he was a powerful fireball. I remember I used to watch him as a little kid hid under the front pew, and he would run around the pulpit. He would get so happy and preach. He'd been an old drunkard. It was saved by grace. He'd been an old drunkard that had got sober. It got saved by grace, and God had filled him full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, and he preached with the power and the stamina, amen, of the Spirit of God. But that word was all around me, amen. We prayed at the supper table. We prayed at the dinner table. When it come church time, we went to church. I was made familiar to the Bible. I was given opportunity to hear the word, and I'm glad it took root in me. I'm glad that one day that word found its way to my understanding. And Edgar S. Martin, an old-time preacher that was a pastor of our home church, he came to our house during the week and led me to the Lord sitting around the supper table. And God saved me by his grace. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and reserved lips put far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder on the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not. See, once we know the Lord, the Bible said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, but God don't take away a right to choose. God gives us a right to choose. I had to choose this morning. We come over to the radio station early and start broadcast. I had to choose that that's what I wanted to do today. God didn't get a hook and grab me up and set me up on my feet and say, all right, you going over and you got to do that. I'm here because I want to be here. Amen. But we have to understand, we have to choose the right way. And God tells us to ponder the paths of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. If we want the word to work in our life, we're going to have to get away from evil doings. We're going to have to allow the word. The Bible said, you know, in the Gospels, it talked about Jesus prayed the prayer to the Father and said, Father, don't take them out of the world, but leave them in the world, but sanctify them from it. That's how we can be in a world that's full of corruption. I accuse a lot of people of going to Sunday school that don't. Somebody let out with an oath and a couple blank words, I'll say, oh, you go to Sunday school. And they'll look at me just as funny. And I had one man to say, blank, blank, no, I don't go to Sunday school. I said, well, you was talking all them words that I hear in Sunday school, like God and Jesus and all that. And I've had men to hang their head and say, no, I was cursing him. And I never have understood how that men can say they're atheists and still curse God. I can't hear them. I told one man, and you've heard me tell this before, but I told one man, one of my neighbors, one of the churches I pastored, he was a neighbor across the street from the parsonage, and he let out an oath every time. I mean, you could hear him cuss all over the neighborhood. He introduced himself to me one day, shook my hand, and introduced himself and said, I am an atheist. I said, I don't know whether you're an atheist or not, but I know one thing, you're a liar. I just left him alone. A few days later, I was in conversation with him, and he broke down and said, sir, what did you mean? I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe in atheist. I said, I don't believe in atheist. I believe a person says an atheist is a cop-out because they don't want to stand up to the reality. And he got tears in his eyes and said, you're right. He told me a long story of how he got out of the church and how he went back to living a sinner's life. But he said, no, I believe there's a God. I've been so hurt by church and people in church that it was easier that I'd say that I was an atheist and they'd go away and leave me alone. And he said, everybody left me alone but you. But he said, you won't leave me alone. And I want to think that I was instrumental through the Spirit of God, helping that man get his life straightened out. I never did hear him let out one of them oaths that you could hear all over the neighborhood anymore. Amen. If nothing else, it took a sting out of his stinger. Amen. Because he didn't say nothing like that no more. And when he talked to me in respect. Amen. See, there's sometimes you have to demand respect. Had a guy work for me one time 10 years, and he said, Brother Goat, You have earned my 100% respect. I said, thank God for that. And I've always laid back and tried to teach people respect and not demand it. But you get in some situations, you have to demand it. Amen. You get in some situations, you just have to say, listen, you don't respect God, you don't respect me, you don't respect yourself, you ain't going to cuss around me. Amen. My good friend up the street up here, he let out an oath out back out there one day. Boy, he let out an oath, and we laugh about it to this day. And I said to him, I said, my friend, God's going to get you for that. You better dry your mouth. He walked straight through the door, and you know how when you're blinded from the sun, he walked straight through the door and walked into a cutting table and knocked himself on the floor. If you'd hit him with a baseball bat, he wouldn't have been any more cold laying there on the floor. And I helped him back up, and he said to me, I didn't see that table. I said, you remember what I told you outside? Amen. Every once in a while, he's been a friend of mine for 19 years, and every once in a while, he'll let out another oath, and I'll say, the cutting table. And he'll change the subject and apologize. Amen. But that man has my most uttermost, and he may be listening this morning. If he is, I hope he is. He has my uttermost, he respects me to the uttermost. Amen. And I don't really like to be called reverend, but he, and I've told him that, I said, there's only one reverend. I don't like to be called reverend. Just call me brother, you know. Around here, we call people that's in the kingdom of God, we call them brothers and sisters. Amen. And I said, just call me brother. But you know, he will not mention my name without he, if he don't think to say brother, he will say reverend or preacher goat. Amen. And he's known as the meanest man in town. Amen. I'd rather to be friends with the meanest man in town that's got the knowledge in him and got a respect for the authority of God than some old hypocrite that's, amen, saying praise God, praise God, praise God every breath, but they're full of hypocrisies, they're full of every old mess there is. Amen. Amen. If somebody you can get their attention and God can get their attention, he can work with them. Amen. And then it makes me think of Romans, the 10th chapter, and in verse 9, talking about the heart. Now, here's what it says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart. Notice this, believe in the heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice verse 10. This is Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. We must acknowledge God. We must acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We must acknowledge that we are a sinner. I've said this, and I've had people say, I don't agree with it. Well, that's what the Word says. Unless we can remit our sins, we cannot be forgiven of them. An unremitted sin is an unforgiven sin. As long as you can go in your sinful ways, long as you can live in sin, long as you can be in sin, and you just say, that's all right, I'm justified, I'm all right. It's called self-justification. And a lot of people just simply self-justifies themselves and say, well, God will make an exception. It's all right. And they'll give you a reason for sin. I have a lot of people that I talk to and I say, you know, that's they'll be living, maybe two people living together. And I'll say, well, you shouldn't be doing that. And they'll say, yeah, but so-and-so can't get a divorce and we can't do nothing about it. Well, that don't give you the right to live together. And then I have so many people tell me, well, you know, and I know folks that's went before preachers and got preachers to marry them without license, and they claim they're married in the sight of God, but if they get married by the courts of the law in the land, if they go that route, they say we'll lose one of our checks. Amen. I don't know. I'd rather throw both checks away and have soul salvation, amen, than live in sin and get two checks and die and go to hell. And that's pretty plain, but that's the truth. Amen. We're in a mixed up world. We're in a messed up world. We have social service department. We have the tax departments that are telling people that if you will separate, get you a divorce, get separate addresses, then we can give both of you a check. Our government is against this word. They're supposed to be a separation of church and state, and our government took it literally. They don't believe a thing that's in this book. They're separated completely from this book. Our forefathers founded this country based on the Word of God. And if your household is not based on the Word of God, it's in shambles. If your life is not based in the Word of God, amen, most likely you're not saved and you're not going to inherit heaven, amen. Only those that believe in their heart and confess with the mouth, only those shall be saved. Paul gives some guidelines to a young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Now, it goes on in verse 19 and said, nevertheless, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from their iniquities. There has to be a separation from iniquity and sin. It has to be remitted to God. When you remit it to God, God can cleanse it. Amen. But we live in a world that the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, traitors, high-minded, headly, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That sounds like a lot of folks today, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away. Amen. And it tells what they will do. They will creep into the houses. They go door to door, and I can name organizations that's all they do is go door to door and try to deceive people. I'm going to tell you something. If it's not rooted and grounded in this word, it's deception. The Bible says deceived and being deceived. That's what's happening today. Verse 7 said, forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's the fallacy that we're seeing in this world today. They're talking about God. They're talking about religion. They're talking about church. But they've never actually rooted and grounded themselves in the Word of God. Took long enough and time enough to know what thus says the Word of God, and have invited Jesus Christ into their heart and soul and aligned themselves to the Scriptures. Amen. If we do that, if we align ourselves to the Scriptures, amen, then we are going to be victorious. Amen. And if we must fulfill what's Matthew 10 and 32 said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess for my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And if I might close with a verse out of Joshua, I never let a school graduation pass every year. There's a section of scripture that God spoke to me many years back, and we're, what, heading up 23 years of graduation this coming year, 24. We just had number 23. We're heading up 24 years of graduation, and every year I present these verses to the graduating class, and it's powerful to present them if we present them every time we come together. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein it day and night, that thou shalt may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thy way, amen, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. I say to young people, the only way you can survive is get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. make this word a part of your life. Save your heart. Keep your heart. For out of it come the issues of life. There's a lot of things I won't watch on television. There's a lot of things I won't listen to. Because I'm going to save my heart. I'm going to keep it true to the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Lord, as we pray, Lord, and this word goes out throughout the country and other lands and other nations, if the men, women, boys, girls that don't know you as Savior, let them be saved today. Let them come to know you. Let them believe in their heart and confess with their mouth you as Lord and Savior of their life. I want you to heal. I want you to set the captives free. I want you to minister to those that called upon you. Give them victory today is our prayer in the name of Jesus.